Hello everyone and welcome back. That's right, to the It's All Cobblers to Me preview show is back. We've got a chat with a representative from Saturday's opponent, Salford City, coming up. But first, I'm joined by my Wednesday night friend, Charles Cummins. How are you, Charles?
Am I only your friend on a Wednesday night? Is that how that works?
And Sunday, I guess.
Okay, thanks. I'm good. Thank you very much.
Good. It is Wednesday. We'll timestamp it because we're mid-transfer window. We had a little bit of bad news, a little bit of slightly good news today. That was Wednesday in the build-up to this. Chanka Zimba out for 6 weeks with a hamstring injury, which is helpful. Usual cobbler's way, you'd say, bringing a lone player and he's out straight away for 6 weeks. And that comes a few days before the end of the transfer window. So John Brady did say that he'd missed out on a couple of transfer targets, but we did bring in Idris Kanu from some other team down the road, Charles, today. How are your feelings on that?
Well, first of all, I'm disappointed it wasn't Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Second of all, I literally laughed when, well, I couldn't help it, when it was announced that Zimba is injured. With a hamstring injury, no less.
Yeah.
I immediately went, oh, so we replaced Keon Atete, who had a hamstring injury and hadn't played for 6 weeks, with a player that has come in, played all of what, maybe about 80 minutes max?
Yeah.
With a hamstring injury for 6 weeks.
Yeah. Good times. with about 2 or 3 days left of the transfer window. So
yeah,
it's going to be a scramble. We were talking earlier, weren't we, about whether we do a Twitter Spaces or not on Monday night. It looks like it is going to be a late one.
It's going to have to be, isn't
scramble
it?
Scramble around the basement bucket of just to grab whatever's left.
Because
Kanu doesn't sound like
he's still playing.
Yeah, get him in there.
Yeah.
Speaking of getting him in, by the way, I was browsing the hotel end. So I'm not a member of the hotel end, but careful. I like to browse sometimes. Someone used Get Him In. I can't remember exactly who it was, but someone used Get Him In, Charles. I think I need to trademark it.
Hang on. Is this what he used?
Get Him In.
Yes. Little sneak peek.
Sneak peek.
Yeah.
Sneak peek
But yeah, anyway, back to Kanu. Not an out-and-out striker, I don't think, by the looks of it. It looks like he can play all over the pitch, which would have excited Keith Curl, I think.
Right wing back.
Right wing back, yeah. I'm in there. Doesn't look like he's the one to solve the striking issue.
He looks to me like he's more of the creative player, I think.
Yeah.
So he's the one that hopefully is going to be unlocking the defence.
Unlock it, yeah.
Yeah.
He's been playing right wing back, I think, for... That blue team.
You couldn't write it, could you? You really couldn't write that script.
No.
I love it.
It does seem like John Brady's still in the hunt for a striker, though, which is good. It's not pinning his hopes on Kanu to be that man.
I will be very interested to see whether all these rumours, and I appreciate they are just rumours and we haven't got a clue who starts this kind of stuff or anything like that, but yeah. Danny Hilton has been rumoured since literally December the 31st, hasn't he?
A
move up the M1 from Luton to us. So I'd be very interested to see whether that actually comes to fruition, or indeed if we can maybe find out somehow once the window closes as to whether it was ever likely or looking like we were interested in that at all. Mm. Because as much as we sort of moaned, didn't we? Well, Neil had a nice big pop on the pod on Tuesday, didn't he, about loaning youth players from like Premier League clubs or Championship clubs.
Yeah.
Danny Hilton was, I think the rumour was for a loan until the end of the season. He is not, I was going to say a child. He is
not a child.
A youth team player coming from a higher division club. He's an experienced pro who would be dropping down a couple of divisions, not been able to get into a Championship side that, by all accounts, are doing okay
for
what they're wanting and expecting at Luton.
They are. We'll see what happens, though. I wouldn't mind that so much, like that kind of experience coming in. And I saw some pictures today. We had a behind closed doors friendly against Coventry, I think, on Wednesday. Rico on the sidelines.
At the Rico. Oh, no, it's not called the Rico anywhere, is it? Oh,
no, it's not. No, it was at Cyprus as well, I think. Get Rico on there.
Could you imagine?
We could do a job. All we need is someone to stick the ball in the net. Go get him. You know what? I think he would do it. If we asked him,
I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure he would anymore.
Gets to Monday. He's still relatively fit, I think, isn't he?
I'm not saying that he isn't. I just think he's enjoying the fact that he doesn't have to play football anymore. There's definitely an element. I'm pretty sure that he was asked in a jokey way by either Jake Sharp or Henners or somebody media wise, and he literally just shot them a glare.
He does like a glare.
He loves a glare, doesn't he? Loves it.
He does. But anyway, that could all be out of date, I guess, by the time this comes out on Friday. We could have signed £1 million striker, and so let's not moan too much because it could have kicked off by Friday.
Christian Lee coming back, is he?
Yep. Heard it on good authority that Christian Lee is on his way.
Cool. For £1 million.
Yes.
Actually will become the first £1 million cobblers player. When we pay for it.
Let's get looking ahead to Saturday then, and we've got the pleasure today of being joined by Salford City commentator and media and communications officer Will Moorcroft. Hey Will, how you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good. So we're just saying before this started, this is the first preview show back. It used to be our regular Wednesday meeting where we chat to a fan but also lament the Cobblers form, and this season is not hopefully going to go that direction, but you never know. So going into your role, Will, are you a Salford fan as well as being the media and comms officer, or did it just sort of fall into it as such?
Yeah, so I've been around the club for 8 seasons now. It's been number 8, and I suppose it's hard when you've got such a long affiliation with the club to say that you're not a fan, because, you know, whatever happens on a Saturday, Tuesday, that, as anyone around me will tell you and attest to, that dictates what your mood is. You know, if it goes well, you're happy. If it doesn't go well, not so much. So, you know, I will class myself as a fan on that level. I got involved at the club through my university at the time. And it's a project that back then was really exciting and remains really exciting. And now it's a really big part of my life. Obviously, it's my full-time job. So, it's good. It's been great to see the journey so far. And obviously, as everyone knows, the ambitions are to carry on going with it.
Mm-hmm. So where were Salford when you first started the role 8 years ago? Would have been non-league somewhere?
Yeah, the EvoStick Northern Premier League Division 1 North, so tier number 8.
Yeah.
That's a fair way down.
Yeah. You're talking about ambition then, and such a journey from there, obviously, with the backing from the Class of 92, famously. Is that ambition still felt, do you think, from the owners at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, when they came in, I think they targeted within 15 years to be in the Championship, and you know, the first 7-8 of those, well, I'd say 7 have been meteoric. One promotion, season 1, season 2, season 4, and season 5. So, you know, 4 promotions in 5 years, and they were well on target. We go into every League 2 season, so it's with that ambition of promotion. And one of the things that sticks to me, actually, when we signed Nathan Pons, he said, as a player, you don't go into a season thinking, right, we're going to go for mid-table here. You know, any team that has got anything about them, your ambition is to finish as high as you can. And, you know, that's certainly true here. Obviously, we've not realised that yet, but I'd say in 2 seasons, we've come close on both occasions.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's quite lazy of us, because I think a couple of us predicted on our pre-season show that Salford would be, if not title winners, definitely up above in the top 3. With it being your third season in the league, should you be challenging more, do you think, than you are?
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult one to put the finger on, because obviously everyone sees the calibre of players we pull in, that we do bring in, and you look at the league position and think, well, why are you down there? But I think there is something about, one, League 2 is a very, very difficult league. Without doubt, it's the most difficult league that we've been in. You know, I've watched regularly Premier League and Championship football for most of my life. And even watching that, I'd say League 2 is the absolute most difficult. What you also find is other factors. So I think there might be some pressure on the players that they know they're coming in, and that's what the expectations are. And from other teams as well, a lot of people don't expect, but I hate to say it, and I'm not doing it in a big-headed way, we are a lot of people's cherry. You know, people want to come, they want to play well against us. You see levels coming up another 5-10%, and you know, we've been caught out a number of times by not being at 110%, which is what we've got to be at every week. But you know, like I said before, we've never been a million miles off, but we've not quite got it right yet, I'd say.
Is there any frustration from the fans from that you're not challenging yet?
There is. I think there are certainly some fans who've come in more recent times expecting to come in and watch a winning team. I don't think they fully, or some of them, I don't think fully understand what League Two is about, and that it isn't as simple as go out, get the best players, and you're going to walk away with it. There are so many other things to build a very good League Two team. But I think a lot of the fans that I know who have been here for more than 7 or 8 years since the Class 92 took over, most of them are certainly very happy with where they are, with where the club is right now, particularly compared to, you know, where we have been previously. I mean, Prescott Cables away on the Tuesday night isn't the most glamorous of places to go. You know, looking back to our midweek game, neither's Barrow, to be perfectly honest. But, you know, watching week in, week out, getting to go to grounds like, you know, Valley Parade and all these sorts of places, you know, they understand where we are. There's still that ambition there. You know, that's never going to change. And they're just happy to be enjoying the journey still.
It's interesting to say that, because I was interested to know whether there's a divide in the fan base, because obviously there are those fans that have been there since the days when, you know, it was just, you know, an open field essentially with a cafe and you know, a very small stand with a few seats in, to what it is now at the, you know, the new stadium. And then you've got these newer fans coming in that are obviously coming in because of the fact that, you know, you can't deny it, the Class of 92, Gary Neville being the figurehead for the club now. They're going to come in, they're going to go and watch that. I presume you get a lot of United fans that go and watch on the days when United aren't playing. If United are playing on Sunday, they'll go to Salford on the Saturday. So is there a noticeable divide in that sort of fan base? Do you maybe sort of see the old guard, if you like, just sort of being there and being a bit more like relaxed about everything, a bit happier with how everything's going, whereas and maybe tutting a little bit at the newer crowd that are more impatient?
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with that. I mean, there are, you know, some who don't like some of the newer fans that have come in and have this expectation. Like I said before, you know, from what they've been through with the club in the Northwest Counties, even below, when I got involved to where we are now, you know, they're very proud of where we are and maybe a bit more accepting and understanding of where we are, and that we're not just going to go up every year. You know, that is impossible. Whether it's a full-on divide, and I wouldn't say it's completely like one side and the other, but yeah, there is a little bit of difference in opinion as to how we're doing and where we are, where we maybe should be.
Mm. Where is it you think you should be at the moment?
Well, I'm one of these quite holistic. You are where you deserve to be. You know, football over the course of a season balances itself out. You can start poorly, get a good run of form, and end really well and see where you end up, higher at the table. Or you can start off really well, get complacent, and slip back down. So, you know, I don't think anybody can say you should be in a certain place. Like we were saying before, you look at our squad and the experience they've got in there, the promotions they've got in there, then yes, you might expect us to be higher up, but it isn't, it really isn't so simple, you know, trying to find the way that those players play together. For example, you know, that team chemistry is such an important part, and that's the bit that you need to get right. So, you know, we are where we are. I can't say that there's too much this season that I look back and think that really, really went against us. You know, last weekend against Colchester probably isn't the best that I've ever seen us play. I think I will put that up there in one of the worst performances I think I've seen from a Salford side, and that's just being honest over the last 7 or 8 years. But then we have had some spectacular wins, really good performances, and bits of some good points. So yeah, we are where we are, and we'll see where we finish come May.
I suppose it's that thing that, I mean, you said about before about how essentially you've kind of got a target on your head from the other clubs and, you know, the other teams and the other players that come to play you, because you know, you're spending money that other clubs in this division especially, you know, can only dream of being able to go and spend on players of the calibre that you've got. And I mean, I know that it essentially comes down to jealousy. Whatever way you look at it, fans are jealous of other clubs. There is going to be a jealousy factor towards Salford City. I mean, you've only got to look at the recent signing in Matty Smith. You know, that's a huge signing for any League Two side. To get him to come down from the Championship, regardless of whether he was playing week in, week out at Millwall or not, he's known, he has scored goals in that division, and then all of a sudden he's dropped down two divisions. It's the same as what happened the other day when, I can't remember the lad's name, but the guy that Wrexham have paid 300,000 to AFC Wimbledon for, Ollie Palmer, yeah. You know, I mean, that's ridiculous. And we all kind of look at it and just go, wow. But essentially it's jealousy that the Cobblers haven't been and done that themselves, or, you know, gone and bought Cristiano Ronaldo for 200 million or whatever. That's what it comes down to.
What was funny, when we were in the National League North, one of the most vocal clubs against what Salford were doing, Stockport County, when we're in the National League, it was Wrexham. You know, look what's happened to them in the last couple of years. And, you know, it's acceptable. It's okay for them to now be splashing the cash like they are. Yeah. So that's quite a funny irony, I find. But, you know, it is a bit of jealousy. And very few football clubs have ever built themselves from absolutely nothing. You know, there aren't football clubs that pay a packet of peanuts and, you know, a pint of lager after a game. That football in itself is becoming a beast that is losing control of itself very quickly, I find. But, you know, we do have that ability. We do use it. And, you know, it, like I said before, you have the other side of that coin where it getting it to work, you know, it's all very well and good having the best resources, but it's, you know, sometimes making the most of them. You know, I look at Gary Rowett, for example, a manager who works on a very limited budget, does absolute wonders. He was given a war chest at Stoke and he failed. So, you know, it really isn't always the answer. And, you know, every club would love to have it. But, you know, for those who are run sustainably, not saying we're not, by the way, we are, you know, well run and sustainable, but, you know, for those who are sensible about it, you know, it really isn't a bad thing to have. So, you know, you can be jealous about resources that some have, but I think what we're seeing more and more at the moment, if you still have a football club to follow and support, and, you know, they're looking after themselves and the fans, and you've got that, then you really can't take that for granted either.
Is the relationship quite strong still, like between fans and the board and the owners? Is it like 100% backing between them, or is there some dissenting voices?
I've not ever really seen anything that is against the owners from the club or from the supporters. There's, you know, dialogue between some groups, particularly the older ones, who have got a lot more deeper invested interest in the club and the committee as well, particularly. Not much happens without the committee being aware of it and having their say. You know, a lot of them have been at the club for over 30 years, so you know, they are still the beating heartbeat of what it's about, and the owners are the owners in that. I think there's a little bit of dissent towards the recruitment, I have to say, and you know, has the club brought the right players in or not? Because there've been some, Bruno Andrade, for example, you know, never really worked out for him. We had Matt Green for a time, that never really worked out, and Danny Lloyd as well came from that blue club down the road. You know, it never fully worked out for him. So there are some question marks over that. But, you know, if there was a guaranteed tailored solution, then League Two wouldn't be as exciting as it is.
Mm-hmm. Can I, just because you've brought up recruitment, one of the nice things that I saw on Twitter, I think this week, or it might have been last week, Newport County unveiled a signing on Twitter using a nice little Panini sticker-esque video. And then what? Maybe a same day, I think it was, a little bit later on, Salford did a similar thing. It wasn't exactly the same.
But if you went back a year, you'll see that Salford also did a football sticker. and we were also due to bring a player in earlier in the window, which we had the same thing for, which didn't come off. So
it was yeah. The thing that I liked was afterwards, because the banter between the two clubs' social media accounts, although it was short and, you know, fleeting, was quite funny. And I, you know, it was that whole thing of, I think, was it your reply to say, oh, sorry, we forgot that Newport invented the sticker album or something like that. I, you know, it's the fun that you can still have despite the fact that, you know, you're bringing in recruitment that is above, let's be honest, what most League Two clubs can do. I think that still shows that they're seen and respected, or Salford are respected the same as any other side in the division by the rest of the clubs.
Yeah, I mean, I always hope that when people come to us, they see that, you know, we're not a load of really stuck-up people who believe we've got an entitlement to be higher up. You know, a lot of us behind the scenes have helped to build where we are now. It would have been very easy when the club went professional for them to, instead of take myself on and my former colleagues who've been there for the last 3-4 years, you know, go and offer someone who's been there, done it at the top flight or the championship, to come in and do our jobs. You know, they could have gone out and got a really experienced ticket office manager, you know, commercial manager, and all these different roles, but instead they've entrusted to us. And I think we've helped to continue bringing that, you know, we are normal people. You know, there isn't anything special about us. You know, there's something exciting and special about where we work, yes, but you know, that doesn't change anything about us. And you know, I do hope that people see that. Just on the social media thing, I feel that we do need to be a bit more careful than others at times, because a lot of people are very quick to scrutinize us and you know, criticize us. I think, like I said, it was only a matter of minutes, wasn't it, before Newport was straight on it. But I think that's why we sort of cut it a bit short and sweet, because we have previously done that. You know, we've had that ready since December, because we knew that's what we were going to do for any January incoming. So it's just not worth the battle, really. It was quite funny just to see the amount of stuff that comes at you, and you just, all you can do is sit there and laugh at times.
Good stuff. Coming to on the pitch now, obviously Gary Bowyer appointed in the summer. It's been really up and down, especially like the last few weeks. It seems like a little bit of your season in a nutshell. Like, you've gone to Port Vale, defended for your lives from what the highlights I've seen, to get the 1-0. That was the bent post game, Charles, you'd be happy to know.
Oh, yes.
And
it's not the
goal.
First time we've had a tractor involved in a game either.
Oh, really? Tell us more.
We actually had a tractor stolen a few years ago.
Chessy.
Yeah, so yeah. There just seems to be something about Solfen and Tractors.
Oh, in our pod colleague, Jeffy, will be very excited. She loves a tractor. So any tractors you bring down, bring down on Saturday, you've got to be careful. She'll be on it. But yeah, then you went and had that decimation against Colchester, which was one of the shock results of the season and performances. I was looking through the Salford forum earlier and getting their reactions to it. And it just, like you said, it's one of the worst performances they've seen in years. Was that just out of nowhere, just completely out of the blue?
Yeah, to be honest, even looking at Tuesday night's game, we were just sharper, more intense. Passes were finding their way through. With Colchester, like I said earlier, they just seem to have an extra 5 or 10% in them, as you'd expect when they bring a new man, bring someone new in charge in, and a couple of their players afterwards were saying same sort of thing. They've got a new spirit and belief in the camp, which that's one of those things. It doesn't justify our performance, though, I think we were expecting to have more time on the ball. We never really reacted. Our reactions didn't get quicker, and what happened, and I think they were fully deserving of the 3 points on the day. But yeah, it's just been strange to come by. Consistency, I think, throughout our league to stay. We've never really put together that run of 3-4 wins. We've had a couple of unbeaten runs, but they've never really got anywhere near to double figures. So that's something that's maybe always been a little bit absent. Obviously, we've got Ian Henderson missing long-term, which hasn't helped in terms of, someone who is going to put the ball away. And obviously, with our goals, you're going to struggle to win some games. December, we were quite unlucky in that we've not actually had to shut down due to COVID at all throughout the pandemic. And yet in December, we lost, I think, 3, maybe 4 games because the opposition had COVID. So that was frustrating because after we beat Stevenage, we felt we could have gone on a run then. But, there's still just under half a season to go. Plenty of time.
Mm. Barrow on Tuesday night, obviously after that Colchester defeat, probably needed a game on Tuesday night, I'd say. 2-0 win. Was it back to how you expect, what you expect from him?
Yeah, it still wasn't out of third or fourth gear. Barrow were lacking certain elements of their game that will be really important for them if they're going to stay up. But sometimes you just got to take what comes to you. We did most of the basics right, as the cliche would go. good free kick, take 3 points and move on. I think it's a credit to our club secretary that we've got these postponed games in such a short space of time, because it means that we've not had to, wait week to week. We've been able to go Saturday, Tuesday, and while it might take a bit out of the lads, you look at the back end of December and we didn't play from December the 18th to January the 8th. So in a way, you had a bit of a break. They're raring to go, and we just need that momentum to back us up now.
Yeah. Couple of players, you mentioned Ian Henderson there, long-term injury, couple of ex-cobblers there. How is Jordan Turnbull, and more importantly, how is his beard, is my question. His beard is one of the finest around.
His beard is the envy of many a male person, including myself. Jordan's brilliant. I think I've run out of adjectives to describe him. He's solid. He's dependable. He's exciting. He's always a threat. He's honestly one of the best centre-backs that we've ever had at the club. We've been really fortunate. There's just not really much more you can add. You guys know this as much as we do. With the disappointment I think there was when he did leave and decide to come to us, that's why he is what he is.
Mm. And
the other player... Before you move on, Danny, I'd just like to say how much I'm now crying because I do miss Jordan Turnbull.
You get to see him on Saturday, Charles.
I do get to see him on Saturday.
You can cry again afterwards. That he's not...
I'm hoping that COVID's gone. Boris says that it's gone, isn't it, by Thursday. So therefore, I'll stroke his beard if I get the chance.
Not sure that was in his speech.
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what
stroking
Boris
was beards saying. Is back on the agenda. Yeah. Good stuff. Somebody who doesn't have a beard, Ryan Watson. He does have a good head of hair, but
he shaved it off now.
Has he shaved it off now? Has he?
Yeah, he's gone for a short look. Looks a lot more tough.
Yeah, nice. How's he settling in so far?
Yeah, he's done really well. His debut. Which was away at Bradford City, even though we lost, he maybe could have scored two or three. He gave us, I think, what we've been missing in the middle, just a bit more drive going forward and linking up the back and the front. He's had a couple of chances in every game, all three so far, and he got an assist as well now on his record, so... You know, he's one who I'm really looking forward to when he does fully bed in and settle. You know, he's from the Northwest anyway, so it's not a big move. He should be relatively settled. And I think if we do go on to finish well and end up in the playoffs, I think he will play one of the most important roles in that.
You said that he should have got a couple of goals there, Will. I think you're doing him a disservice because he did. Might have been in the wrong end, but he still scored.
He didn't know anything about that. I think that's one of those that you don't want to see it put down as an own goal. But it's come off his back heel with it when he's looking the other way. So, you know, unfortunate one for him.
And yet we all know that if he was a striker and it was in the right net, then he'd take it all day long.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I want to finish on Matt Smith, who we mentioned earlier. There was a bit of frustration, I think, from his first couple of games that the ball was just being lumped up to him. There was a little bit of annoyance that was being done before. It was long ball, but it wasn't sticking. But he's at least winning the headers and trying to bring other people into play. What I can see, if you've got Watson there behind him, then it might actually be a lot more beneficial to have the two of them because he scored so many goals for us that it's just powering in at the last minute. He could be the perfect man to complement Smith up front, I think.
Yeah, and we've also got Brandon Thomas-Asante suspended at the moment. He will be, likewise, the perfect complement. You know, he's that striker who will put in, you know, your 14, 15 kilometres a game, running around, getting onto the knockdowns. So when he's back, I think we'll see the full effectiveness of Matt Smith as well, and obviously Watto will only... add to that, but I do as well see where the fans are coming from in terms of the balls going direct up to Smith. You know, teams aren't stupid. They already put two or three defenders on him and don't give him that space, but at the same time, I do believe we need to try and utilise the wide players a bit more and get those balls coming in from all different angles and not down through the middle. Josh Morris will hopefully be back relatively soon. He's been contending with a niggle, and Ibu Touré is currently at AFCON with the Gambia. He's got fantastic delivery from the left-hand side and from set pieces, so they'll both be really beneficial when they are back as well. So a lot more to come, I think.
Thomas Santi still suspended at the weekend? Was it
Saturday's the last.
Last one. Yeah. Was it four?
Four, because it's his second red card of the season.
Okay.
Naughty boy. Yeah. Naughty boy.
he's brought him on himself a little bit. You know, he gave, I think, both instances, he's given the referee the opportunity to bring it out as opposed to anything being particularly cynical. But, you know, he'll learn. It's hard to forget he's only 23. He's got a big career ahead of him.
Yeah. Charles, we're going to finish with predictions, I think. Have we got a jingle for predictions?
What kind of?
Predict it.
There he is.
There's Neil.
There's Neil. Surely someone can beat that. Come on, listeners, you can do better than that. We want your jingles for basically that our prediction section. We've had to make do with Neil this week, so if you don't want to hear that anymore, get your own.
Predict it.
I'm going to be hearing that in my nightmares. We're going to make some predictions. Charles, what are you going to go for on Saturday? 3 o'clock, Sixfields. You're in hospitality.
I am in hospitality on Saturday. Ooh. Yeah, this is a delayed birthday present. So, finally, I think I was meant to do it for, I can't remember which game it was. Were we meant to have Crawley before Christmas, or have we had Crawley? We've already had Crawley. I can't remember now. But it was one of those postponed games that I was supposed to be going to, I think. And then some other stuff came up, meant I couldn't do it. So this is the first opportunity that I've had. So I'm going to go and play some stand-up bingo.
Nice.
And I'm going to go and stroke Jordan Turnbull's beard in the players' lounge. And I'm going to watch the Cobblers run out 2-1 winners.
2-1. Nice.
Yeah, Jordan Turnbull is going to get Salford's goal. And
we'll go consolation so we can join in the celebrations, like last kick of the game.
Oh, yeah. It'll be, and he'll jump into the North Stand with Cobblers fans to celebrate. That'd be perfect. And I think Idris Elba's going to get at least one. And Benny Ashley Seal. Our only recognised striker left.
Oh, Danny Rose is there.
Only recognised striker.
So, Will, are you there on Saturday?
Yes, I'll be doing Salford commentary and other media duties. I've got to be honest, I'm not usually one to make predictions, but I'm going to formulate this one together. Three previous meetings, Northampton always scored twice against us.
Yeah.
Sam Hoskins seems to have a particular penchant for scoring, so I'm going to go with Sam Hoskins and Paul Lewis as well, who scored twice against us before, to score for Cobblers. But just because I've got to say Salford are going to win, so 3-2 to Salford.
Ding dong.
Ding dong. Ding dong prediction.
And that's despite two relatively good defences and relatively low scorers.
To be fair, Danny, you predicted a ding dong for our game with Sutton, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Sutton love a ding dong.
Yeah.
And then it ended 0-0. So, shows what we know.
I'm going to go 0-0 this week then. 0-0. Nothing happens. Charles, you can go and say hello to Will upstairs somewhere, I'm sure.
I'll wave from my padded seat.
Stroke his beard as well.
Mine will be gone.
Good stuff. Thanks so much, Will, for coming on.
No, thanks for having me.
Cheers, Charles.
Thanks, Danny. It's a pleasure to be back.
It's good to be back. We'll be back again next week with another preview show. I don't even know who we're playing next week.
Some team in League Two.
Yes. Yeah, excellent. See you next week. Cheers.